What's going on, everyone? We just had a really exciting episode, very special guest, one of the dragons on Canada's Dragon's Den, Michelle Romanow. Ulf, what did you think of this episode of Show Me the Crypto?
I'm pumped. I'm still pumped. I'm reeling from it. No, it was Michelle's been a longtime guest that we had on our wish list that we would love to have on the show. To have the opportunity here at the Blockchain Futurist Conference to get her on and talk about everything around leadership, around blockchain technology, and what that's like here in Canada and the role we can play in this space. It was awesome. I loved it. I think you'll love this episode.
Yeah, it's a quick episode, but a lot of value jam-packed into it. Michelle talks about ClearCo and the possible blockchain integrations in the future, talks a little bit about leadership and what people should be focusing on right now. We know you're going to love this episode.
Show me the crypto. Show me the crypto. Show me the crypto.
In a world on the brink of disruption, two men will bring you clarity by interviewing some of the most intelligent and influential names in the blockchain world. Welcome to Show Me the Crypto with your hosts, Wade Patterson and Ulf Lonnegren.
Well, hi there, and welcome to a brand new episode of Show Me the Crypto, live on location at the Blockchain Futurist Conference. And this is a very special guest. We're joined by Michelle Romanow. Many know her from Dragon's Den, one of the dragons, but she's also the co-founder and executive chairman of ClearCo. Michelle, welcome to Show Me the Crypto.
Oh, happy to be here.
So I came across a video of you from, it must have been at least 5 years ago, explaining what blockchain technology is in like an incredibly eloquent way. So when did you first discover blockchain tech? What was your initial impression?
You know, I was very early in fintech, and ClearCo didn't have a financial angle. But I mean, I remember we had sold a company to Groupon in 2014, and I was starting to look at, you know, if the last generation was really disrupting the newspapers, and that was social media, and that forever changed the face of media, this next piece of disruption would really be around disrupting banks. And those were always the tallest towers in every city that's basically ever been built. And so it was going to be a very big and long and large-scale disruption. And so I probably got started, in 2014, 2015, probably that's when I started hearing about crypto. And I think we're still probably in pretty early innings of the space.
It's funny, we're in early innings. Everybody always says we're still early, and we are.
But you're like, I'm 10 years
old. Yeah, at the same time, you're like, well, I've been here a while, and it feels like so much has happened. Totally. I'd love to know, like, what are your thoughts on Canada's involvement in the crypto space? Obviously, it's not like we're not talking about an organization or anything like that, but Canada does have some roots here in Ethereum starting up in Toronto. We're in Toronto right now. We're in Canada. So what are your thoughts on Canada's role in the future of blockchain tech?
I mean, I want Canada to be a leader in this, without question. I mean, Ethereum is like an incredible contribution that Canada made to the scene very, very early on. And we have a lot that we can build here. And so it's really about creating an environment that is warm to entrepreneurs. This is a very hard space because the regulation is so gray. And so in addition to just having to run a company, you're also running a company in, you know, a space where you're like, I think I'm doing the right thing. I want to do the right thing. It's important to do the right thing. It's important to have good actors. When you have good actors early on, you build a much stronger industry than having, bad actors early on. But I think Canada has a great role to play, and I hope, you know, continues to have that leadership.
ClearCo is incredibly innovative in the way it funds entrepreneurs. Do you ever see an integration where blockchain technology could be leveraged?
Oh, I think it's something we'll, you know, of course, look at into the future. I think now we're very focused on kind of in our fiat world, and especially with all the economic changes, it's just been really important for us to adapt to those right now. But, you know, I think there's certainly that potential.
Do you have a favorite crypto asset that you love to shill out when you're talking to crypto about your friend, with your friends or anyone else?
Probably not. I mean, it's kind of like picking a stock, you know what I mean? Everyone has look, I love Ethereum because I think it's an incredible product that Canada built, but I'm not, you know, first of all, I'm not following enough of these individually, and I just, yeah, I don't want to give
when
the right.
When there's tens of thousands of them, that's probably pretty hard to do.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You were born, raised in Western Canada.
Yeah.
What do you kind of see in the differences of, like, maybe not just crypto, but like the tech scenes in the Western part of the country versus the Eastern part?
Yeah, I think the West is really naturally entrepreneurial. I think you cannot underestimate that the oil and gas business is the ultimate Wild West. I mean, you stick a pin in the ground, you have a 10% chance of hitting something called black gold, and you fail 90% of the time. Like, that is the ultimate boom or bust, you know, one of the most important commodities that we've created. And so when you get that, you build a certain gene of entrepreneur. We always find it funny, all the women on Dragon Center from Calgary, there's something in the water there. I think Toronto and the East has done a much better job at creating tech companies because they've had some of that expertise and they didn't have the oil and gas industry to begin with. But I think the West will just continue to catch up.
Speaking of Dragon's Den, has there ever been any successful or maybe major failure pitches around blockchain or Web3 related projects?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, every year you get something that, like, doesn't work. I can't remember them all, but, like, that's building a business, right? You never quite get them all in.
We're getting close to the end of this conversation, Michelle, and there's three questions we're going to ask you. But before that, just a couple really quick things. One, I'm wondering, on your LinkedIn, it says one of your many loves is taking trips, booking 2 hours in advance. So,
yeah.
Like, last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the best story you have of a trip that you just booked at last second?
Like, it's become, like, a habit. Like, I'll get in an Uber going to the airport, and I'll, like, be on my phone buying the ticket. A great story this year was Air Canada had an outage. And so there was, like, no flights taking off because the computer system literally couldn't check people in. So I remember, like, looking at the screens where you have all the destinations, and I was like, okay, it's 8:30, we have 9 flights left, like, which place do we want to go to? And we literally picked it off the screen, which was really fun. I think that, and there is, like, it's not just madness that I do this. I think one of the parts of it being an entrepreneur is you never know exactly when you're going to have a break. You are, by default, you have to work when something blows up in your business. You have no choice. Like, and so then, when you have times where things are not blowing up, you should be way more chill. And you should, you know, book that last minute trip and really enjoy that time you have off, because the next week it might be stolen from you.
One of the major themes of your discussion that you just had on stage here at the Blockchain Futures Conference was talking about leadership advice and how to take it from startup to success. And I'm just wondering, right now in the crypto sphere, we're kind of in a bear market. Things are down. There's less attention on the industry. What's your advice to maybe crypto founders who are a little bit disgruntled or that type of thing, of maybe that motivation to keep going?
You know, this is just buckle up, toughen up, and, you know, just do it. Honestly, you just have to fight for one more day, one more time. I have been in so many places where it's just really hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to say it gets better. There's no magic pill. There's just find a good team, keep building, keep fighting every day, and then something has to give. You 20 iterations, something works. And, you know, those iterations can become magical. They can become $1 billion companies. But you just got to keep going.
Awesome. Well, as I mentioned, we have three rapid fire questions,
yeah.
A segment we call You Had Me at Crypto. So
okay.
Ulf's going to ask you those.
All right, Michelle, you ready?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite person to follow in the crypto space?
Vitalik.
Nice. Yes, love it.
Popular
love it.
Answer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, second question. What will the price of Bitcoin be 10 years from today?
God. What's the price today?
$29,000.
$29 USD, yeah.
82.
Wow.
82, okay.
I love the specific. Love it.
Yeah, we've had a few, like, around that range, I feel like. All right, what is the most underrated project in the blockchain space?
I have no idea.
That's fair. Michelle, you've been so generous with your time. You were a wish list guest for us, so
oh,
thank
good.
You so much for joining us on this
of
episode
course.
Of Show
no,
Me the Crypto.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Show Me the Crypto. Please make sure to subscribe as well as rate and review this podcast.